I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we are very happy to welcome a Twin Cities singer-songwriter, Martin Devaney, to our studios. He's been here before, but I think it's been quite some time, hasn't it, Martin?
Yeah, a handful of years.
Yeah. A few years. And he brought his buddy Jake Heyer here along with him on fiddle. Welcome, Jake.
Howdy. Good to be here.
Well, let's get started with a song, and then we'll come back and chat about what you've been up to lately,
right.
Martin.
Yeah.
What do you want to play first?
I'll do a song off the new record called Whiskey Kisses.
Well, I've been around, you know, I've seen some places. I've looked through faces and taken some names. Fell in love at first sight from 100 paces. But I'm sick and tired of playing those games. What would I do without your whiskey kisses? The whole world's been coming apart at the seams. What would I do without your whiskey kisses? Live in a world come to me in a dream. Been out 40 days, digging those trenches. Seen plenty pain and I've heard plenty sighs. Believe it or not, I still swing for the fences. When I think about those ornamental eyes, what would I do without your whiskey kisses? The whole world's been coming apart at the seams. What would I do without your whiskey kisses? Live in a world come to me in a dream. Don't cry, don't run away from me, don't run away from me, oh, I'll try, don't run away from me now. The last thing I ever want to do is hurt you, just want to make sure that I make you smile. We'll throw around words like honor and virtue, just wanna make sure we make it a while. What would I do without your whiskey kisses? The whole world's been coming apart at the seams. What would I do without your whiskey kisses? Live in a world come to me in a dream. Live in a world come to me a dream. Live in a world come to me in a dream.
Martin Devaney, live from Studio A. That's Whiskey Kisses, a song that appears on his most recent album, House of Rust. And it just came out in the fall, right?
Yeah, back in October.
Mm-hmm. But it had kind of been a long time in the making, hadn't it?
Yeah, we made the record. It was probably done about 18 months earlier and got shelved for a while. And then we decided to put it out. So.
And you worked with Rich Matson up at Sparta Sound, as
yep,
you know,
yep.
Like half of the people that come in the studio have.
Perfect, good.
And had you recorded with Rich before?
I hadn't. Dating back to when he was still in Minneapolis, we've talked about it for 10 years, and we really need to do a record together, and it just never happened until now,
mm-hmm.
So...
And tell me about it. Like, what did Rich bring to the project that you hadn't had, you know, from other producers or?
Well, Rich is incredibly inviting and comforting, and the space that he has, he bought and refurbished an old church into a studio. You know the story. He turned it into a studio in his home where he and Jermaine Kemberling live, and it's such a great environment to go and be shut off from the outside world, more or less. You know, we tracked most of the record in 2 weekend sessions, went up with the band, you know, cooked together, had a bonfire, went back, recorded some more. And so it provided the environment to just focus on making a record, which was the most at ease I've ever been in a studio. And so that is a truly special aspect to what he has there.
And so what kind of performances did that bring out of what ended up on the record?
I think it was just a very, it's like the maybe the truest performance we've ever done on record. Just so everybody's at ease, and it came very easy. A lot of the songs are first takes. It's mostly recorded live, and I never really worked like that before. So I think it got some of the more confident performances I've ever been a part of in the studio.
Mm-hmm. And it's 13 songs, looks like.
Yep.
And
but concise, 40 some minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too long.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, because you cannot fit that many on a vinyl LP, which is what I'm holding in front of me.
Right.
Is it fun to do something on vinyl? Had you done that before?
It's the second time we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The last record was on vinyl as well. And I think from here on out, that's how I'll do it.
It's coming back, man.
Yeah.
It's coming back.
Yeah.
For those of us who remember it from our youth, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, so before you recorded them, had the songs been around for a while, or were they fairly new at the time that you recorded them?
I'd say about half and half. A few of them had been around a little while,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of them came really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I even did a little bit of writing in the studio, which I'd never done.
And how was that different? What was that like?
Just on the ball, we got to do this tune, need to get it done, you know.
And you must have done it pretty quickly if you were only there a couple weekends, so.
Yeah, I mean, and the tunes came, I mean, I kind of describe it as like the tunes came kind of in little stolen moments, like, you know, need to be out the door in an hour, and here came a song. And so they piled up quickly and deceptively. We got up there and didn't realize we have, you know, 15, 16 songs and, you know, did these, you know, 13, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that vastly different from how you normally write? Like, does it usually take you a long time? Are you, because some people are editors, you know, and it just takes them a long time to craft.
I mean, I am. I believe in the craft and mm-hmm. the you know, carpentry of it or whatever. But I'm definitely more of a lightning strikes kind of guy than a get up and write every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll often bang something out and then fine tune it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what happened with these.
Mm-hmm. And I was just reading an interview with you about this, and you were saying because it was so long from the time that you did the album to when it came out, that you're kind of removed, you know, kind of mentally from the songs. I mean, you were just in a different place.
Yeah.
So what's that like to, you know?
It's challenging in a way because you want to get on to the next thing, and it's not that I'm not going to, you know, support the record, but it's a little bit hard. I think it's hard to pull myself out and want to, you know, tour and push this record really hard, and because I'm kind of not that I'm I don't want to say something like I'm over it, but I am certainly ready to do something else, but mm-hmm. I know we got to go to play these songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, it's I know I have a job to do.
I you know, I see a lot of artists in the studio that have that,
yeah,
you know, that same thing going on where this is what they've got going, but they often will do a new song in the session that's not on the album because they've already been doing new material and
right.
they're excited to get that out
right.
there. So
yeah.
That's, you know, that's always kind of fun. Creative people just want to keep creating. That's
yeah.
what you, that's what you do. And without, you know, trying to stir anything up, just curious, like what was the delay in getting the album out?
I mean, I think it was there's a couple factors. I mean, one obvious one that I think all, you know, independent artists face is that we can't always afford to put out records when we want to. And that certainly was the case with this. Also, I mean, personally, I was in a different place. Having been in a long-term relationship that a lot of these, you know, songs are about, and in a positive way, that kind of coming to an end delayed my wanting to deal with these songs. And having that person also be on the record, you know, just it was a little close. And so since this came from a, I don't know, sunnier time in my life, I wasn't going to put out a breakup record or anything. I wanted to put these songs out, but it was just a little tough to go back and listen to them and think about that time, and not to sound like the tortured songwriter artist guy or anything, you know, it just I needed some distance from before I could look at it objectively as a piece of work that we did rather than like the life I was living.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to that point, and now it's something that, you know, I and we are proud of as a piece of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about the people that performed on the album too. I see Jake was on
obviously.
There
and Jake's been on pretty much all my records. And it's kind of been the band that we have been playing live with when we do full band stuff for the last few years, who are all fellows from many bands over the years.
Now, are you from the Twin Cities originally, like born and bred, all that stuff?
Yep, St. Paul.
Okay, St. Paul.
Yep.
That's, and you have that nickname, the Mayor of St. Paul.
Right, I suppose.
Now, who gave you that?
That was originally in a magazine, a fellow local songwriter named Stuke picked his top 10 songs of the year, local songs of the year, and he made some offhanded reference to something from the unofficial Mayor of St. Paul, and and it stuck. People really ran with it, and I never had a nickname before, so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Mayor Coleman actually acknowledges it, so somewhat accurate, I guess.
There are worse things people could call you.
And I've been called worse.
And you actually, like, in high school, you were in the original High Respects playing saxophone,
yep,
right?
Yep. And some of those guys have been in versions of my band over the years, too.
Do you ever just, when you're hanging out, you know, jamming with people, just grab a saxophone and mess around anymore?
Not too much, but I play here and there, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been in some different groups, and I put some on some of my recordings.
Was that your first instrument, or what was your first instrument?
My first instrument, when I was a real little boy, was violin.
Oh, okay.
And I can't play it at all anymore. But and then I played clarinet in school band, which morphed into saxophone, and so on.
So how do you and Jake know each other? Since you go back so far,
we worked around the block from each other at Half Price Books. Martin worked down at the coffee shop around the corner.
About
and, yeah,
11 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew Martin as Mark for the first 3 months because I didn't hear him say Martin right. Martin said he played some tunes, and I said, well, hey, I play mandolin. He said, well, yeah, come, let's go jam sometime. So. Just how things happen like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Here we are.
Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. What do you want to do next?
I'll do the title track off the record, I guess. Let's see. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. I've been living in a house of rust. I've been breathing in a cloud of dust. I've been wondering out loud who to trust, but I'm still counting on you. Hey there, heartache, please don't hang your head. Dread day comes an avalanche instead. The drizzling rain could put you back to bed. Remember what I said. I've been living in a house of rust. I've been breathing in a cloud of dust. I've been wondering out loud who to trust, but I'm still counting on you. It's been so hard to hear you telling me you're still searching for a melody. You're probably wondering what this fella means. I wanna make your dreams come true. I've been living in a house of rust. I've been breathing in a cloud of dust. I've been wondering out loud who to trust, but I'm still counting on you. Got that hat pulled over your tender eyes. I lay a hand upon your slender thighs. I know it's been so hard to compromise, but you know we'll try. I've been living in a house of rust. I've been breathing in a cloud of dust. I've been wondering out loud who to trust, but I'm still counting on you. I'm still counting on you. I'm still counting on you.
Martin Devaney, live from Studio A, and another tune you can find on his latest release, House of Rust. And Something else that you have done recently, you contributed a song to a compilation called Rock for Rules, Volume 2. And it was to benefit the family of Leah Rule. Now, for people up here, I know she was pretty well-known down in the Twin Cities. Tell us a little bit about who she is for people up here who might not know.
Leah and her husband, Rob Rule, were, when we first started playing out around town, they were kind of the... They ran the turf club, basically, and quickly that became kind of our home base for playing, and introduced me to, you know, so many bands and people that we still play with to this day. So they had the SPMC, St. Paul Music Club, was kind of their unofficial banner there, and they ran ran the turf for many years, and then eventually moved out to Western Wisconsin and bought this beautiful farm, which they turned into like an idyllic rock and roll farm, basically, and bought a bar out there that they ran for a while called the Bar Chord, and then that they got bought out by their partners, I believe, and so eventually they just started having a lot of shows out at their farm, and yeah, just people we've known for, you know, better part of 15 years, and unfortunately Leah passed away last year, about a year ago. So our good friend Eric Castle, who I also play with in a band called the Crossing Guards, has put together now two compilations, to benefit them, to the family and Rob.
And you did a tune called Over My Shoulder, and there's even a little video for it.
Yeah, we made a video.
Yeah, which is, it's really sweet. It kind of revisits some of her favorite places, I think, or something.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, it was filmed out at their farm and the turf club between the two.
Wonderful. Well, and I think it really kind of seems like there's a real spirit of community among, you know, those particular musicians and that group down there.
Definitely. They cultivated a scene of people that were very close-knit, but at the same time very open and welcoming, which was part of why it worked. It's, you know, Rob always says over and over, it's about people and music. And it's that simple.
And if people want to find out more about that compilation, I know you linked to it on your Facebook page. So look up Martin Devaney on Facebook, and you can find more information about that.
Something like 55 songs on there or something. Right?
Yeah, on the second.
Yeah, and I think it's just digital, right? It's just available online.
Yep,
right?
It's on Bandcamp. I think minimum $5 donation, but 55 songs. So
pretty darn good deal.
Yeah.
And you know, I also noticed on your Facebook page you were saying that it might be the last thing that you do for a little while. Are you not? What's going on?
You know, I just
musically. I mean.
Yeah. No, I think. in
ever.
The new year, I mean, obviously we're still going to play, but I think that, you know, getting this last record out was such a, you know, weight off my chest or whatever, and then doing this tune for the Rock for the Rules compilation just seemed like a nice place to leave it alone for a while in terms of releasing more stuff. And so in the new year... I think I'm actually going to be making another record with Crossing Guards and playing some shows. We haven't played in quite a while. And we put out a record back in 2009. And then kind of we played a lot for a few years and have kind of stopped. So I think the new year I might start playing some shows with them again and making a new record.
Okay, so still music, just in a different context. And that's more rockin' than the stuff that you do under just your name, right?
Yep, it's more of a Elvis Costello Replacements, Guided by Voices sort of thing.
So is that, and how long have you been doing that with them?
2009 we put out the record, but I think we played some shows in 2008. Yeah, so since about 5 years.
So that must be a lot of fun to do something different.
Just different side of the brain, different side of the performer, I guess.
There's more leg kicks in that show.
More leg kicks and rock pants and Budweisers.
And what's your role in that band?
I'm the songwriter and lead singer. And I play guitar on the recordings, but live I just sing and goofy frontman.
And I was reading somewhere that was kind of liberating for you.
Definitely. You know, just kind of get work that out, you know, and get to be goofy up there and have fun. And it's, you know.
And it was kind of, it helped you sing differently, it sounded like.
Yeah. Not having to, you know, have this weight around my shoulder, kind of open up a little bit more, and I don't know.
Do one thing at a time.
Yeah, go to, you just focus on that and go to some different places. So, yeah, it's different and it's fun, but still, just, you know, like I said, the other side of my songwriting brain, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how is it different? Like, for writing a song for them as opposed to writing a song that you'll know you'll do yourself?
I think it's, what I think, it, you know, I used, like, it used to be just whatever I wrote would be on, you know, with my stuff. And I think I didn't want to, you know, Neil Young can afford to be Neil Young and make Harvest and then go play with Crazy Horse. And you know what that, those two different things are. So I guess that's my equivalent in a way, I guess, not to, you know, put myself up there with Neil, but just I wanted to differentiate, so like when people saw my name, they knew it was the songwriter thing. You know, even if that's with a band, like we're playing a rock show, it's still, you know, the songwriter leaning stuff. The Sea Crossing Guards, you know, it's 3-minute loud pop songs and whatever antics might ensue. But, yeah.
Martin Devaney with more antics.
That'd be the title of our next record.
More antics, please. All right, well, let's hear another tune. What do you guys want to do?
Should we do You Can't Win? Or?
Sure.
Okay. We'll do You Can't Win. It's another song off the recent record. If I can remember it. let's see here. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Fell asleep in the front yard on the 4th of July. Hat covering up my face, toes pointed up to the sky. Don't know where I'm headed, I don't know what to pack. Don't know why I said it, but the wind's got my back. Head is starting to spin, got a belly full of gin. Sometimes it starts to feel like you can't win. Sometimes it starts to feel like you can't win. They're trading dreams for dollars down on Cedar and Riverside. Put candles in the collars and handles on their brides. And all the part-time poets of the Blue Velvet Dawn can't follow their hearts, decide which side that they're on. These boys don't talk it out, they deal in lead and don't give in. Sometimes it starts to feel like you can't win. Sometimes it starts to feel like you can't win. Now what I'm gonna tell you, between you, me, and the walls, spend some time with another man's wife down at Hidden Falls. But it didn't last long, she couldn't get me to crawl. And the only regret I have is that I haven't met all. I walk on needles and you know I walk on pins. Sometimes it starts to feel like you can't win. Sometimes it starts to feel like you can't win. So maybe I walk around this town and pray for minimum wage and just eat soup and crackers for the rest of my days. Got a Memphis saxophone and a well-worn road. Getting harder to be a martyr without too heavy a load. But I will travel light, leave behind my evil twin. Sometimes it starts to feel like you can't win. Sometimes it starts to feel like you can't win. Can't win. You can't win.
Martin Devaney, live from Studio A, and another one from that album, House of Rust. There's one on there I wanted to ask you about, Crosby Block, that apparently is kind of influenced by your family's story.
Yeah, somewhat. It's actually the name of the apartment building where my dad and all of his large family originally lived at one point or another when they came to the United States from Ireland. And that's a song that I've been trying to write for about 5 years in different forms. And it finally came to kind of, I figured it out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a loosely based story song. Right? Yeah. Somewhat biographical, my dad and his family.
And tell me about what made you want to do that. Like, what about that story?
Well, it's hard. I think it's hard for me to write about family, maybe. And there's something in my, you know, iconic about that building in my personal history. And I just thought it would lend itself well to a song. And actually, my cousins, his nephews, own an auto repair place and small engine repair place right next door, just by happenstance, and was where I had my first high school job. And so it's just like it's a big part of, like, if I gave you my tour of St. Paul, it'd be a stop on the tour. And so I wanted to honor it.
Does your dad have good stories about that place, or what about first coming to America?
Yeah, definitely.
Anything you can share?
Oh, just, you know, coming and not realizing. I think he came in January, if I'm not mistaken.
From where?
Ireland. And he didn't know how cold it would be, and so they got there and he didn't have a winter coat or hat, and you know, just stories about you know, taking his car, racing up University Avenue, and going back there, and you know, just kind of his first impressions of America were while he was living there. So
Porky's, right?
Yeah, going to Porky's. Yeah.
And did some of that find its way into the song?
Yeah,
some of the,
definitely
from the stories that he would tell. Have you ever been to Ireland?
Yeah, a couple times.
And what was that like for you?
It was great. I was younger.
Did you get to experience any music when you were there?
Yeah, definitely saw some stuff. It's not hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully I'll be able to get back and play someday. Be nice.
That's a good goal to have, for
definitely.
Sure. For sure. Well, thank you so much, Martin. I know it's been so long since you've been in our studios. It's great to have you back.